What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, so a neighborhood in LA County is furious over the recent filming of the movie Fast and the Furious. But it's not just the filming, also the imitators that are staging real-life stunts right outside their homes.
Oh, no.
Now, plans are being made for a protest in Angelino Heights tomorrow. The demonstration is going to bring together anti-street racing groups and homeowners of the neighborhood because residents are worried about cars potentially flying into their houses or hurting their kids or wannabe racers that are screeching their tires at all hours of the night. They're also frustrated with the parking situation created when the big movie trucks show up. So All of these things are why there's a protest planned there tomorrow when crews return to do more filming. So that is what you need to know.
You know what time the protest is?
I don't. It just says that it's planned for Angelino Heights tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. The reason I ask is because you and I are going to go get pedicures tomorrow before we do the live broadcast at Hollywood Park Casino. Mm-hmm. But if we could make time to go be part of the protest, perhaps we would go hang out there too.
Sure, I'll check it out, Cap. I'll try and find an exact time of the protest.
I mean, do we want to protest this?
I mean, I guess I understand why people would be mad about that, but then again, like, we live in L.A., there's people filming movies around here all the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but that's kind of one of those things. It's like, oh, God, here come all these cars that want to race down our streets because this is the street in the Fast and the Furious. That could be dangerous. Kids are outside playing.
Can't they just put those bumps in the streets?
You know,
they could do that, yeah, little speed bumps. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You would think it'd be easy to put speed bumps in streets. It seems like it's a whole headache to get that actually done. You know?
Is it really?
Yeah, like, sounds I know like I had a street, and I was like, people come flying down the street. Can we get some speed bumps here? It took years to get speed bumps.
What, years because of the politics or years because of it you know?
Yeah,
it can't be
politics.
Just because of just like putting the actual...
No. The speed bump itself, the installation of the speed bump, very quick operation.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The politics of it all, George.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
You live in some schmancy neighborhood, so there's that.
I don't know about that.
Schmancy. Anyway, that is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right, so real quick. Laura, are there dog shower people still there? Oh, okay. We'll get to them in a second.
Wow. More people want to talk about this, huh?
Yeah.
So this is taking off.
Yeah. So anyway, before I finish here real quick.
Yeah.
With Pat Bev, Russell Westbrook, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I believe
that children are our future.
I do
lead them well and let them lead the way.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
There
give them a sense of pride and make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us all how we used to be.
Well
so,
done.
Yeah. So, I just believe that if you're the Lakers, You can't let this thing fester for too long. Like, this is a Molotov cocktail, like, potentially waiting to happen, okay?
You're saying these two personalities, Beverly and Russell Westbrook, in the same locker room. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if I had to guess, once they move Russ... And notice I said once they move Russ.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Beverly starting at point guard for this team. Because LeBron handles the ball anyway. So you just have him. Patrick Beverly is the type of 3-and-D type of point guard that LeBron has generally played with. And that is, there's a lot of success with that particular model.
You say when they move Russ. And you're making an assumption now that they can't be in the same locker room. That these two guys...
I just don't think... I don't think... Look, first, I don't think Russ fits with LeBron, as we've clearly discussed a million times.
Okay.
But I also think that there is clearly a personality clash there. Yes.
Okay. And so, from a front office perspective, it's like, hey, we need this kind of a player, and we need this kind of a personality. Mm-hmm. Who fits that mold? Pat Beverly. Okay, great. What do they want? They want Talen Horton Tucker and poor Stanley Johnson. I say it like that because Stanley Johnson came off the streets last year and actually contributed to the Lakers.
He played well. I mean, listen, he gave himself a shot to be back in the league. You know, this is a guy who was a lottery pick at one point.
No doubt. And so, you know, like I say, I say poor Stanley Johnson because the guy was probably like, wait, what? Me? I thought I helped last year. Wait, really? Really?
But he's going to be able to play more in Utah. So that's
no doubt.
A good thing.
It's probably a great thing for the kid.
Yeah.
But you think that the Lakers front office made this move saying we need Russ insurance, right?
We'll get all the stuff we thought we were getting from Russ from a fiery standpoint, plus we get a guy who actually plays defense and is more of a role player, and traditionally that kind of role player fits with LeBron really well at that position. So yes, I do think that that's what's happening. I think this is the first of multiple moves, if I had to guess. But real quick, just to finish up the conversation we were having about Talen Horton-Tucker and how they should have moved him last year. They should have moved him last year for Kyle Lowry. And I know people are sitting here screaming, like John said, that Kyle Lowry was awful last year. Kyle Lowry was not awful last year. Kyle Lowry got hurt and then looked awful when he tried to play coming off of an injury. But when he played through most of that season, he looked great in regards to the way that he moved the Heat's offense. They were like a fast break team far more than they had ever been or had been in a really long time with Kyle out there pushing the pace. He was great defensively. Had they traded him for Talen Horton-Tucker, the Lakers probably would have made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, if I remember thinking. I remember thinking to myself, was it last year? Or was it the year before? And maybe it was last year, but thinking, oh no, not yet, not yet. This kid, Talen Horton-Tucker, not yet. Let's see what he's got. But
I told you I'd trade him for Kyle Lowry all day, every day. And people screamed at me on the air, calling in, and you backed them up because you did not want to trade him either. I'm like,
well,
nah,
I didn't want to give up on him too soon.
Yeah.
And but now,
that again, the GM, you have to make that call. You have to be able to know when, you know, a player has peaked in your situation, right?
Well, in this case, I'm going to be very curious to see if the Lakers cannot move Russ. Now you've got Pat Beverly and Russell Westbrook, who most people perceive that those two guys don't like each other. You just documented.
I mean, I don't think you need to perceive it. I would say that, you know, it's so.
Well, so if that's the case, and these two guys have beef dating back a few years.
Back to 2012 when Pat Beverly was going for a ball and Russ landed awkwardly. And I can understand why Russ doesn't like Pat Beverly either, by the way. I'm not dismissing that part of the equation. Because, you know, Beverly plays hard until the whistle, and sometimes in that particular case, perhaps even a little after the whistle, and Russ hurt his knee, and it was an injury that cost him. So.
Well, so here's what I'm hoping for now, because you know me, George. I like the drama.
I
like the story, mm-hmm. You know? Now what I really want is I don't want Russell Westbrook being traded. I want to see what happens now. Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverly, two guys that are known as rivals, that people say they hate each other, these two guys. Now you put them in the same locker room, playing virtually the same position.
Yeah.
This has drama written all over it.
It does have drama written all over it. Speaking of drama, Bill Plaschke has created this drama for no reason.
Who?
He's like, he says the Dodgers need to play it cool because they can eclipse the Seattle Mariners' 2001 single season victories record of 116. By winning 31 of their last 39, but they shouldn't try, that they should just blow it off, that they should just cool their jets and just kind of chill and kind of prioritize winning a championship. And what I would say is, look, do I think that they need to, you know, press the gas and play guys that, you know, a couple years ago there was a similar situation, if you recall, right?
Are you talking about when the Giants and the Dodgers were going
right.
for it?
And I said, I don't care about the division. And people freaked out when I said that, too.
I was on the other side of that.
Yeah, and it turned out just fine. Like, you know what I mean? You beat them in the playoffs. It's okay. So I'm okay with the Dodgers. I'm okay with Plaschke taking that position. But the Dodgers are also in a different situation. They also have guys who are dinged up. They need to play guys like Dustin May. He needs to get some work in. When Kershaw comes back, he's going to need to get a little work in. So, I do think they need to play it cautious. But I don't think that they need to just, like, rest guys completely. I think, you know, you pick and choose your spots like you would any other time during the regular season.
I think the point is, and by the way, this Plaschke guy you speak of, right?
I love Bill.
And what is his deal? What does he do?
He's the columnist of the LA Times.
The what? Columnist. The columnist of the what?
The LA Times.
Oh, I didn't know people still read newspapers.
Oh, look at you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a Bill Shaken shot.
That's a shot right back at the LA
Times.
Shaken
shot.
That's right. That's right. You publish in the LA Times that nobody listens to radio, and yesterday afternoon, on a Thursday afternoon, we have several hundred people show up at Union Station to hang out, to drink beer.
You know how hard it is to get to Union Station at that time of day?
Right. So you're going to tell me that nobody listens to radio when you tell me about Bill Plaschke?
Why do you care?
I say to you, who reads the newspaper?
Why do you care?
I just have to battle back. That's all. I don't take things like that lying down. You feel me?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, so when you say the LA Times, I'm like, well, who's that? What is that,
the LA Times? What do you think the Dodgers should do then? Forget about the LA
Times. Here's what I think. I think that the Dodgers do not need to say, hey, guess what? We're having this incredible year, and we need to try and become the all-time greatest team in the history of baseball. Right. We need to win more games than anybody's ever won, ever. Yeah. Like, if I were Dave Roberts, that would be, like, the least of my thoughts. Yeah. If it happens organically,
cool,
and they just continue to win and stomp everybody that they play, so be it. But it's not like, hey, guys, listen, we're like, we need to win this many games in the last games to get to this all-time record. Who cares? It's World Series or bust. And frankly, and I think you'll agree with this, if you don't win the World Series, this season will not be considered a success.
Huge
because
season.
You're that good.
Although they've had some really crappy luck already, right? Like, they lost their best pitcher.
And they've not even hit a speed bump on that.
Second or third best pitcher, depending on the way you look at it, in Kershaw. And Urias has bounced back. He's been phenomenal. And, you know, Gonsolin has been phenomenal. And maybe you get May rolling and that works itself out. But yeah, you're in a weird spot. Like, it's not like you're whole, but they have so much depth because Andrew Friedman is a genius. That, you know, and look, I don't say that lightly. I got a man crush on that dude.
You do, yeah.
Oh my God, I think he's brilliant.
Do you think you have a bigger man crush on Andrew Friedman?
Or do you think Laura's boyfriend?
Or do you think I have a bigger man crush on Tom Brady? What do you think?
Oh no, you definitely have a bigger man crush on Tom Brady. You're like creepy man crush though.
You think so?
Yeah, like you want to smell him and stuff. I don't want to smell like we did with Laura's boyfriend.
Well, Laura's boyfriend smells delicious. What can I tell you?
Right, I understand, but I don't want to smell Andrew Friedman. I'm fine with just like,
well, if
you're standing next to Andrew Friedman.
I'm not going to smell him. No.
But you might not intentionally smell him, but if he wears a lot of cologne, you might.
Perhaps.
And then you
but
might say to him.
Not intentionally.
You might say, Andrew.
You wanted to intentionally smell people, which is weird.
Well, I don't know if I wanted to intentionally smell Laura's boo.
Wear too much cologne before you start going down that route.
Well, it's not about too much. It's about enough for me to smell him.
Yeah.
You just smell good.
Now, what happened? I thought your boo.
Can we get a dog person on real quick? I want to change the subject.
I really want to talk about when Boo's going to give me my cologne that he's making for me.
Let me go to Noah real quick. Noah, you shower with your dog too?
Hey, guys. No, I don't shower with my dog. First of all, make a couple quick points. I had a dog. We lost him recently. He was awesome. But
I'm sorry,
he
man.
Like 90 pounds. When that dog would swim, I appreciate that. It's so hard. But when that big boy would swim in a lake or a pool, he'd get out. And 30 gallons of water would drip all over the place.
Yeah.
What dog are you showering with? And you clean the dog, and then you just send him out into the house while you finish showering?
No, sir.
What kind of nonsense is
this? Let me give you a little more detail around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Thank you, Noah.
Number one, it's a French bulldog. So he's kind of a small dog, probably about 25 pounds, number one. Yeah. Number two.
Well, he's like more like 30 because you've been feeding
him. Well, he's a little hefty.
Yeah.
When I'm done showering and he's done showering and we've gotten the shampoo and the conditioner and the soap and everything else off, I get out of the shower, dry myself off, keep him in the shower, then I bring him out of the shower, and then I wrestle him to the ground and I dry him. So it's not like I let him out of the shower to just go free in the house to just, you know, just kind of shake it all out all over the place.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture. You know who that is?
Is that Outkast?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell to the year.
Yeah. All right. More on the dogs. I know we have more dog people on the phone. We'll do more dogs. Plus, oh, Cappy.
Yeah.
Your favorite team is talking again.
My favorite team is talking again.
The Bolts are doing some talking.
Mm-hmm.
And people are talking about them. We'll tell you what was said next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, Gene Simmons, Cappy.
I love Gene Simmons. You ever watch Gene Simmons' reality TV show? The Simmons, I don't know what it was called, The Family or something. Did you ever see that show?
Gene Simmons, by the way, Jewish, no?
Yes, he is. My Hebraic hermano.
Yeah.
I was at a Starbucks one morning in Beverly Hills, and Gene and his wife walked in. And, of course, I mean, he stands out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
And I stood behind him in the line, and I didn't say anything, which I'm sure shocks you.
Yeah, but it does shock me, actually.
I was just so consumed with looking at his hair, because it's like a force field.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, and it's like, I wanted to touch it, you know? Like, I wanted to touch that hair.
Of course you did.
You know?
Don't touch anyone's hair, bro.
Well, I was going to ask. I wasn't going to do it without asking.
No, don't do that. Yeah, yeah.
I love Gene Simmons. And by the way, I love
Laura,
Paul Stanley, too.
If someone just randomly came up to you and just said, can I touch your hair, how would the reaction
be? Hell no. We talked about this. Somebody tried to do that.
Really? Who did that?
When I was at we happened a while ago, like we were talking about curly hair. This guy goes, oh, I love your curls. Can I touch them? I'm like, what the hell? No, that's weird. No.
Don't touch people's hair.
It's not that weird.
It is very
weird. Yes, it is.
There was a guy that was at the at Union Station yesterday, and he had this long goatee. He came up to us at a commercial break.
Yeah.
And had I had more time with him, I would have been like, bro, can I touch that?
What's wrong with you?
I mean, it's just, I can't grow a goatee that's 4 or 5 inches long.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know what it feels like. So since I can't grow it, and he's got one, it's like, my man, can I feel that?
My man.
Do you also touch, like, pregnant ladies' bellies?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you're that guy. That you are guy. Totally that guy.
Yeah, I'm like, can I touch your belly? Let me send some positive vibrations to your little baby.
Not like strangers, though.
No, not like, I'm not like walking up to like stranger lady, like people I don't know, like, hi, can I touch your belly?
Do you remember, there's like a Southwest commercial that somebody was doing that, and the lady's like, I'm not pregnant. And it was like, you want to get away?
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's very funny. Though.
Yeah.
Hey, Laura. So your boo is not gonna make me a cologne potion?
No, because you're hella sus. We've talked about this. You went back into the hella sus category.
That's hella uncool. Tomorrow. Okay.
Hella sus. Odick Kaplan.
Oh, that's a good name.
He offered to make me a cologne concoction.
I mean, kind of adjacent to that, you know.
I told him.
Yeah.
I think he was just like humoring you.
Yes, exactly. But you didn't catch on to that.
I don't think he was actually like really interested.
Really? I thought that he's like a chemist. He takes a little bit of Polo, takes a little bit of Dracar Noir, takes a little bit of Aqua Velva,
Jupe,
you know?
Yeah.
No. You can ask him tomorrow, Cappy.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll see him tomorrow.
You going to be there?
Yeah.
All right. And is he going to be bringing his dance moves?
No.
No, it's a fantasy football event.
Exactly. Where the hell is he going to
be? At Hollywood Park Casino that we'll be doing for 3 hours.
I'm going to bring my boombox.
Okay.
Okay.
Speaking of booming,
yeah,
Justin Herbert's voice is booming. And by the way, was being asked, what podcast was he on, Lindsay? What podcast was this?
This was yesterday. Hold on. I tried to get to this yesterday, but I couldn't get to it because it was all hell broke loose at Union Station.
Oh, but you did it on the Sackey show.
Yes.
No, what's the Sackey show?
That's your other show.
Oh, no. Of course I talked about this on my other show.
Yeah, the Sackey show.
Yeah, I don't call it the Sackey show.
No, but we can call it that without just like a fun name for it.
Oh, okay. But isn't this from the NFL Network, Linz?
It's from the Chargers. They have a series like on YouTube, and it's called All In.
Oh, I didn't know that. Then I guess I'm talking about something different.
So he was asked about how tightly contested the AFC West was, and he omitted one particular quarterback when talking about the great quarterbacks. Let's take a listen to old Justin Herbert.
I think it's great because you want to play the best, and if we want to be the team that we want to be, you have to go through teams like that, and you have to play the Patrick Mahomes, the Russell Wilsons. They've all got weapons, and they've all got pretty good defenses too. And so it's definitely going to be a challenge.
Oh, Raider fan, he didn't even mention your man. Oh, Derek Carr's had a rough week, man.
Have you seen this, or have you only heard this?
No, I've only heard it.
Okay.
I saw it, and he definitely, like, skips over him on purpose. Like, he kind of, like, looks up, like, oh, am I going to do this? Yes, I'm going to do this.
So I kind of agree that he either intentionally did not mention the Raiders or he just inadvertently was like, well, yeah, I mean, think about what we got here in this division. I mean, think about it. You got now Russell Wilson in Denver. Obviously, people love Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. He doesn't mention Derek Carr, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson's won a Super Bowl. Both Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson have been to two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr has not sniffed a Super Bowl.
No, he hasn't gotten to the first round.
Right, so is it intentionally disrespectful to Derek Carr? And then there's one other part of this, because I saw it rather than just hearing it, and I got a bunch of buddies of mine that are like, no, dude, they edited it out. They edited it. You can see the edit. I'm like, I don't see the edit. I don't hear the edit. So,
Lindsay, you saw it. Do you see an edit?
Yeah, I don't see the edit. And yeah, I'm
don't
an
either.
Editor.
I don't either.
There's no edit there.
I don't think so either. So what do you guys think? You think that Justin Herbert is intentionally disrespecting Derek Carr?
I think he thinks like you, which is probably a rare thing for Justin Herbert, that he thinks like you. But I would say that he's like, yeah, I mean, those two guys have won Super Bowls and like have been to a couple of them, and you know, like I haven't and the other guy hasn't, so why bring him up?
Yeah, well, I think that's, I mean, yeah, I don't know that I find it to be like intentionally
mean-spirited. I think he just like yeah, that guy's not on their level.
Yeah, he's not.
I think that is fairly, you know, obvious that that's the point.
Yeah, but he's right, isn't he?
No, he's right, but I, you know, Raider fans hearing that and they're like, you know, they can't be thrilled about that. It's been a rough week for them.
Well, poor Derek Carr, right? I mean, First Tom Brady tells him, you know, tells the world, well, not even Tom Brady. Right. Yeah. It's not even Tom Brady, really. Wasn't it more like Dana White?
Dana White told the world, but then if you research the story, Tom Brady said, yeah, I can't believe they decided to keep that mother bleeper instead of bringing me in. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dana White telling the story about how Tom Brady was already looking for houses in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, Gronk brought it up initially. And Dana White even said, like, I wasn't going to tell this story, but then, you know, Gronk brought it up. So here's what happened.
Right. Yeah, you know what? This kind of stuff, I got to say, makes me root for the Raiders. Makes me want to see the Raiders, because I love underdogs. I love teams that defy the odds, because that's what underdogs do. I like teams that say, you know what? The world doesn't believe in us, but we do. And our internal rallying cry is it's us against the world, blah, blah, blah. I like that stuff. I would love to see the Raiders shock the world this year. I would love to see the Raiders win the division.
But do you believe that that's...
No, I don't. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I don't believe that, but
I think the Raiders can be a much better team this year and still finish in last place in their division.
Possible. It really is. Because if the AFC West is the best division in football, which many people think it is...
Oh, no, I think it is.
So if you look at the AFC West and you think it's the best division in football, that's because you think that the top three teams in the division are going to go toe-to-toe.
Okay, so the Chiefs, I believe, are over-under is like 10.5 or 11, depending on where you look. Mm-hmm. The Broncos over-under is like 10, and I believe, or 10.5, depending on where you look. The Chargers over-under is 10, and the Raiders is 8.5. It's not like they think that they're going to have a losing record. So, well, they could, I guess, at 8-9. But it you know, like everybody thinks that division is going to be really damn good.
But the Broncos, why do you think that everybody thinks? I'm asking you to analyze everybody else's thought process. Exactly. Russell Wilson. Yeah. Yeah. So you have a first year.
They have a good defense, though, to Herbert's point. They do have a good defense.
But they also, Denver has a first year head coach. I'm not saying first year head coaches can't be really good. I'm not saying first year head coaches can't lead teams to the playoffs. We've seen what Sean McVay was.
We've seen a lot of that, actually. Right. Yeah, recently, especially.
But I will just say, Nathaniel Hackett, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, which, by the way, if you walked up to 100 NFL fans and said, who's the head coach of the Denver Broncos? You'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So Nathaniel Hackett is a first-year head coach.
Yeah.
And he's working with Russell Wilson for the very first time.
Yeah. He was Aaron Rodgers' guy in Green Bay.
That's right.
Prior to that.
So, yeah. I mean,
he's got a long career as an assistant. And, you know, I mean, he also is... You know, comes from a football family, right?
He absolutely does. I mean, when his father, who was a coach at USC at one time, his father was my head coach in college, and
at Pitt,
yes. And Nathaniel Hackett was like a 10-year-old little ball boy walking around,
right? So and you've known Nathaniel.
I've known the kid practically his whole life.
Yeah. And do you know him, or did you just know him?
Like, there's a lot of closeness there.
Good for you. So if you see Nathaniel Hackett.
Right. And I say, bring it in.
He brings it in.
Immediately.
Okay.
Lots of love.
So should I then get you on the sidelines for that game?
Which game?
I'm doing a Broncos game. Broncos-Texans.
Oh, Broncos-Texans. Oh, that's a good game. It's a good game.
Do you want me to do it so that way you see him and you can say, bring it in?
Do you have that kind of juice?
I mean, I can ask. I don't know if I'm getting you paid, though. I mean, I'm
not doing that. No. I'm not doing that without pay. No. I mean, why would I do that?
I don't know. Come hang out with me and Beto?
I mean, that sounds fun. That does sound fun. You know, I got 20 years of sideline work. I may have
like a college game day hit the day before. You want to go to like College Station and then go to Denver?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, it sounds like kind of fun, but you got other things going on.
Yeah.
But
saying.
Anyway, I would
in.
Like.
All right. So anyway, Nathaniel brings it in. Okay.
So
but go ahead.
So here's the thing. So Russell Wilson, we all think, obviously, he's a Super Bowl champion quarterback. He's
correct.
He's been there twice.
No doubt.
I happen to like Russell Wilson. I know a lot of other people think he's corny.
They got good young weapons, too, the Broncos. Yeah. Yeah.
So Denver is a team that should improve because they have a star quarterback.
Correct.
Kansas City is the most consistent of all of these teams in terms of their coach, their quarterback, system, their coaching staff.
Yes.
Other than, you know, a player here or there that's
tons
that's
of continuity, moved. Except Tyreek Hill for the most part. Well, and now Hardman is also injured and hurt. But for the most part, they got some decent continuity there.
Right. And then with the Chargers, we all know how everybody loves the quarterback. Yeah. I mean, listen, I hate the ownership, but I like the quarterback, too.
I like the coach, personally. I know you don't love him, but
I don't love him. I
like the aggressiveness.
I know you do. And the aggressiveness cost him at the end of last year.
Right. But I'll
be curious to see if he's as aggressive this year as he was last year.
I bet you he will be.
I'll bet you he won't be.
Oh, what do you want to bet?
Yeah. I think he'll be less aggressive on fourth down. Okay. I think it was kind of cute last year.
Okay. Okay, but, I want to see the numbers, and we can make an actual bet on this.
All right, we can do that.
Let's do that. But before that, let's go to Radio Tinder. We're back in 2 minutes.
Thanks, Christopher. You guys big fans of Wizard of Oz?
No, really.
Guess not. Okay.
No.
I mean, I like it.
Have you ever done the whole like Wizard of Oz to Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon thing?
No, tell me about that. I don't know what that is.
Like a planetarium?
You've never heard that, Cap?
No, never. I swear to you.
So I did this when I was in like middle school. If you line up the album, you have to play the album, not the CD, the album of the Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Mm-hmm. You play it on a record player, and you start it at the third roar of the MGM line at the beginning of the Wizard of Oz movie.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack, like it's like a soundtrack to the movie. The album lines up with the movie. It's crazy. As soon as she opens the door to Oz, the beginning of the song Money plays. It's like ching, ching, ching. You know, all like the cash registers and stuff when it turns into color. It's pretty crazy.
I have never heard of this.
Really?
Yes, I promise you.
Wow. Yeah, Google it. There's like it's like Pink Floyd Wizard of Oz. Google it.
Not
it's really
there
cool.
There you go, Cappy.
What, you guys all know about this?
I mean, I was somewhat familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, you are? It.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Wizard of Oz fan, so yes.
You know, there's also a rumor that a guy hung himself, and it's like you can see it in the back of the movie. I played that
one, yes.
Yeah, like so many times, and it kind of does look like that.
There was one of my professors, super, super sidetrack, at Mount SAC, was like big on all of that, so we know about all of it.
Shout out to Mount SAC. Love Mount SAC.
Yes, go Mounties. Me and Funchy went there.
Yeah.
Wasn't it
a Munchkin, the you know, one of the Munchkin characters?
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly.
And did you also go to Cal State Northridge, by the way, Laura? Did you go to Cal State Northridge?
No, Cal Poly Pomona.
Who went to Cal State Northridge? Didn't we have some Cal State Northridge?
Jesse Lopez.
Okay, got it. Because I met their basketball coach the other day.
My wife went there.
What an amazing guy.
C-Zone's great, man. C-Zone's great.
That's cool. All right, here we go.
All right, so as I'm sure everyone's heard, it must have been living under a rock by now, that Chet Holmgren's season is officially over. So over the weekend, the Thunder's number 2 overall pick in the draft participated in Jamal Crawford's the crossover Pro-Am game, and he got injured while trying to guard LeBron during a fast break. The game had to be canceled not long after that due to unsafe court conditions because it was too slippery. So I'm wondering, with this happening, with such a high-profile guy and like a high pick, do you guys think that this is going to make NBA teams discourage players from participating in such events in the future? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I mean, will NBA teams try to? Sure, I probably would venture to guess that they may, so I'll swipe right. But I don't think they're actually going to be able to do that, because the reality is these guys play in the summer anytime anyway. Like, they play, whether it's games at UCLA or random games elsewhere. Like, this just happened to be a scenario where there was a lot of condensation on the floor because of the arena being so packed and the weather situation in Seattle that day. And it's just like a perfect storm of awfulness for Chet Holmgren. So,
yeah, I'm going to swipe left. I don't think the NBA teams are going to try and get these players to not play in these games. I think this is a freak accident. Have you guys seen the video of what happened?
Yeah,
you can't really tell. Like, I couldn't at least like tell where he got hurt.
Well, right. So LeBron is driving towards the rim,
backpedaling basically. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when LeBron goes up to put the ball in the hoop, it doesn't look like LeBron comes down on him. It doesn't look like LeBron really had anything to do with it.
No, had nothing.
You know.
Yeah.
And listen, this is a really tall, skinny dude. You know. And I wonder if this is actually, I know this is going to sound weird, could this be good news for this kid? Because this will give him a year. Obviously, he's going to have to rehab this ankle. But you know what? Somebody get that kid a Big Mac. In fact, 10 of them. That guy needs to put on like 30 pounds. He's like 7 feet tall and weighs about 150 pounds.
Well, but here's the thing. You don't want him putting on a ton of weight if he's, you know, rehabbing a Lisfranc injury.
That might make a little bit of sense because, you know, he'll put on weight and then it hurts his foot a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's
all
actually,
I'm saying is that dude
wanted
is
to
super
put on
skinny.
A little muscle, sure, but not like, you don't want to put him like him. You wanted to put on 50 pounds. That's
I mean, that guy right there, that Chet, what's his name? Chet Holmgren?
Holmgren, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That guy makes Kevin Durant look like, you know, Mr. Universe. He's that skinny.
It's a very unpopular take that's been going around on the internet today, Cap, just so you know.
Which is what?
That, oh, it's his own fault because the guy's so skinny. Maybe he needs to bulk up a little bit.
No. I don't.
That's a freak.
The foot had nothing to do with it. I mean, it's a completely freak accident.
He stepped wrong, and that's it. He didn't even touch LeBron. Like, it just
no,
he stepped
I don't,
wrong.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron had nothing to do with it. It just stinks that it happened while he was trying.
Oh no, it sucks because I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, are a young up and coming team, and they own the assets of like every team in the NBA for the next 37 years. So there's that, you know. So, all right, what's next?
All right, so a new study finds that being a boy, mom or dad, might be better for you for your marriage. Ryan Seacrest revealed in today's Hack that couples who have a son are less likely to get divorced. According to the report that he read, having a son reduces your chance of divorce by 9%. They found that families with all boys make for far more stable marriages because apparently a son can draw a father into more active parenting. So you guys both have boys and girls. Do you think that having a son requires more active parenting? Swipe left or swipe right?
Go ahead, Cappy. You can start.
I will swipe right and say that having a son does require more active parenting, I think. This is an instant reaction. My girls are easy. They're motivated. They're ambitious. They're self-starters. I don't have to stand over them. I don't have to ask them if they've done their homework. I don't even think I've ever asked any of my daughters to see their report cards. I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating one bit. My son, on the other hand... Dude, I had to police this guy. I had to be all over him. I had to help him with everything. And I found that fathering a son versus girls, much easier to be a dad to girls. Just my own experience. What do you think, George?
Yeah, I think there's more active parenting in the sense of... although the divorce stuff, I don't... I mean, I guess there's stuff on, like, information on that. But I don't know. I don't feel... that's the thing that I was kind of surprised by, but
it's only a 9% difference, so it's really not that big of a difference.
It seems
right?
Somewhat negligible, but nonetheless, yeah, boys are harder. I, you know, my son is nonstop from the minute he gets up.
Yeah.
My daughter was very, to Cap's point, already at younger than my son is at this stage. I remember at 2.5, we were living in Pasadena. She was 2.5. We were living in Pasadena, and I remember one time. I walked into the kitchen. I said to my wife, "Where's Aria? I haven't seen her for like 90 minutes." She's like, "She's been sitting in her room just playing by herself."
Yeah,
like with whatever, dolls or whatever, you know? Like, and I was just like, oh, cool. That's great. That would never happen with Mateo. We would never lose him for 90 minutes because he would come and, like, tackle one of us in, like, 20 minutes max.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah, like, I just think there's a different energy. And, you know, like, I just think that there's, because of that, like, I don't know, girls, to Cap's point, just easier in the sense of, like, particularly when they're young, I feel like girls mature faster. I know that that's like that's an old true. Wives' tale, but I do feel like true. There's something to that.
That is 100% accurate.
Yeah, and I think that with boys, there's more physical safety issues, right? Because they just generally seem more energetic. And communication with boys is definitely harder than with girls. Like, Mateo's way more stubborn than Aria ever was. And Aria was always very much of a rule follower. We're not that he's not, but he was willing to try to, like, push you on those rules. And I never had those issues. So I can only speak for my own kids, and you can only speak for yours, but that seems to be the case for sure.
It's funny, though. I got a call from a buddy of mine today. He was going to pick up his son from high school, and his son's a senior in high school, and his daughter's a sophomore in high school. And I'm like, how's it going? He's like, dude, my son's a disaster. He's like, this kid could care less about school, doesn't want to do anything else other than play video games. My daughter, she runs the school. My son, he don't want anything to do with the school. So my experience has been the boys are a whole lot harder than the girls.
Yeah. Do you think that it has anything to do with the order that they were born in? Because my brother was the last one born in my family, and I know for a fact that he was easier than me and my younger sister, for sure.
No, because my son's the second of two. My daughter was the first.
Like, yeah, my son's the first of four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think for parents, it's easier the second time or the third time or whatever, because you've already, like, we were probably, and every parent goes through this, you're probably super overprotective with the first one because you don't know what the hell you're doing. Right. And then by the second one, you're like, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I know,
like just even today, I'm still managing my son's, like, whole emotional thing. He calls me today. He's like, Dad, they were practicing football today. You know, the football season's going to kick off 1 week from today for his college football team. He's like, Dad, I went 5 of 7 today on field goals, and my coach is screaming at me. He's like, I don't know if I can play for this guy. And it's like still dealing with a 12-year-old child. My daughter, who's 20 years old, who goes to Boise State, she's like, hey, Dad, guess what? I'm like, what? She goes, I got a second job. I'm like, you got a second job because you don't ever want to ask for any money. And my son, I still got to manage his whole, like, ego. I mean, it is, I'm telling you, girls, my girls, as easy as can be, my son, still a pain in the ass.
Feels good.
Quickly, one more.
Okay, one more really quick. So Demi Lovato, she said that she has some regrets about making so many documentaries about herself while she was in her 20s. During a recent interview, the singer reflected on the last decade of her life, saying, quote, honestly, I'm really sick of watching myself, and I think other people probably are too. Since 2012, Demi Lovato released 3 documentaries in addition to a Peacock show where she and alien experts try to answer questions about extraterrestrial life. So, that's kind of weird, but would you guys ever want a documentary made about your life? And if you did, do you think people would watch it? Kepi.
What do you think I'm going to say, George?
I think you're going to say yes.
Yes and yes.
I'm going to say no and yes.
No as in you don't think you would want to do one, and yes, people would watch it even if you did do one?
Yeah, in other words, no, I don't feel like I need to do one or want to do a documentary about my life. But I do think that if I did a documentary about my life, people would be like, are you kidding me? Like, really? Like, because I think everybody has stories. Not that I'm more interesting than anybody else. I just think everybody has a story to tell. And if you just hear people's stories, you're like, oh, damn, I didn't know that. Wow, that's interesting. Wow, how do you do that? How'd that happen? So I don't really want one. But if I made one, I think people would find it interesting. Georgie?
Okay. I don't want a documentary on my life. I don't. I definitely don't. And I don't think anyone would want to watch, to be honest with you. So,
not that interesting, huh?
I mean, there's interesting stuff. One day we could talk about it over drinks. But
I'd
I just
watch
don't.
It.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, Lindsay, you watch every documentary.
Sure, I'd watch both
right,
of you
watch both of ours. Yes.
Yeah, right.
I think they both think be interesting, though.
We should do a documentary, like a audio 30 for 30 on this show one day.
We should.
I actually love that idea.
I mean, we're already super self-involved to begin with.
I know, right?
So, yeah. We are our own TMZ, as Christopher says.
Right. Yeah. We have award shows about us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do That's have true. Award shows about us.
It's true.
Because we're sus.
Hella sus.
Hella sus, yeah.
All right, that is what you need to know about... Sorry, wrong one. That is a Radio Tinder. By the way, our Radio Tinder sponsor is coming back because Tequila Mandala Cappy and Lindsay and Laura is coming back starting next week. They are coming back for the whole year. We love Tequila Mandala. We're going to do some cool stuff with Tequila Mandala, by the way, with the audience at some point. We're going to make that happen. But I'm very excited to have them back, which means also more products for all of us, too, which includes you and Lindsay, Lindsay and Laura as well, not just you, Cappy.
Was that put into the deal?
Yeah, I had that conversation today with Jason.
Good.
That
good
we were going to get some product for everyone, including the girls, because I felt like you got, interestingly enough, you got more product than anyone. Not that that should surprise everyone, because you always
want
the stuff.
Oh, no. I did.
More than me. He definitely got more than me.
I did. I got a lot of product.
And it's technically my endorsement.
Yeah, I did. I got a lot of product.
You probably asked for it.
No. That's absolutely not true. You know what? You want to know the truth? Because this would be part of my documentary.
Yes. Yeah. Please tell us the story.
They were like, hey, can we get a little added value? I'm like, sure. What can I do to help? They're like, how about some product placement? I'm like, be my pleasure. So there it was on my podcast, on video. There it was, sitting in the background, and then people were like, what's that? I'm like, that's Tequila Mandala.
It is pretty on the eyes.
Yes, it is.
It is pretty on the eyes.
It's
a beautiful
bottle.
It's a conversation piece, the bottle itself.
I mean, they're from Jalisco, what can I say?
Yeah. All right, so that is Radio Tinder brought to you. If back next week, it'll be brought to you again by our friends at Tequila Mandala. So shout out to Tequila Mandala. Love the guys. Thank you guys for believing in us, and we look forward to having more and more drinks together.
Darn right.
And with the entire crew. All right. But coming up next, Balake's back.
Right.
We're going to do Balake again because there's more Dodger stuff that we haven't gotten to. And we, you know, we were focusing on his beer drinking yesterday.
Yeah,
we can kind of get a recap on that too. Yeah, we had a little follow-up. So we'll do some Dodgers and beer drinking with Balake next. Oh, yeah. Come on, Cappy. Do your thing.
I love it. I was just reading an article today. Somebody published an article. Who's the best rapping singer of all time? And like Lauryn Hill's name was on there. Missy Elliott's name, Drake. I didn't really have a strong opinion about it.
I don't know if I put Drake in that conversation. But
no?
Not me, personally. I like Drake, but I don't think of him like that.
Drake's a good singer, but like his old rap stuff is good. But like lately, no. No. Not for a couple years.
Yeah, I think Lauryn Hill and Missy Elliott are on a different level than him personally.
100%.
Yeah.
That thing.
What article were you reading?
That thing. I'm trying to find it right now. I'm trying to find it.
Was it Blake in his Substack?
It was not, although I did read Blake's Substack earlier today, and I swear to you, George, I'm not joking around here. I almost cried.
You read the email.
I was going to say, wait, how did
you didn't subscribe to the Substack. Yeah.
No, but I saw it on Twitter, and then I clicked on it, and I was
He gave it. Oh, he did. That's right. He had a free version for this today. This particular article is free. Blake,
just for cheapos like you, Cappy.
Right. Thank you, Blake, for saying the nice things that you said about us. It was very kind of you to write about the show and your relationship with the show, and we appreciate you and what you do for us every week, which is talk Dodgers.
Yeah, no, of course. You know, I talked about last week when I hit 1,000 subscribers, I was talking about the community that I built there. And I wanted to talk about, you know, the community, especially after being there last night, getting to meet everyone, having the good time. And I feel like it's something, you know, not a lot of people know about, and they definitely should. So hopefully you're able to get some new members into the community today. Hopefully a few extra listeners on the drive home, because hopefully this show is expanding and reaching out more than it was 24 hours ago.
I don't know, dude. I'm not joking. Like, I almost started crying. I was like, this kid. Look at this kid. What a beautiful kid. I loved it, man. I read that article this morning. I was, you don't need to know where I was at the time. But but I loved it. It was a great article. But can we just recap before we talk Dodgers? Can we just recap what happened yesterday? You were going to drink one beer per Dodger run. Little did you know that they were going to score 12, and it got late into the game, and I'm trying to remember who it was that hit a home run, and we were sitting there, because it's about 9 o'clock at night, and you were like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like there were guys hitting home runs that you did not expect it, and then, you know, you were only like 5 of 12 beers in.
Yeah, but you also had huge beers, so they should count for more than one.
Yeah, I'm just remembering last night when Cap was there, I'm just sitting there he's like, yeah, here, have some food. And I just see Austin Barnes hitting like a 3-run home run.
Right.
Austin I'm going, Barnes. You've got to be kidding me right now. But yeah, I know a couple of weeks ago when I said on the show, it's like, yeah, I'll just do something fun. I'll do a drink for every run they score. Because I was thinking the game's going to start at 7. I was like, the show is at 7. I might be there for a couple innings. They're not going to score a whole bunch of runs. I was not expecting the entire community and apparently everyone else on Twitter to be back in this and shit, sending me DMs every time the Dodgers scored a run saying, hey, drink up. And yeah, unfortunately, didn't get to the 12. Not a man of my word, but like I said, the fact that I was able to pound some down, and like George said, they were some heavy beers. You know, I wasn't going for the Coors Light or the
Bud. No, that was your mistake. That was your mistake.
Out. Yeah.
George, this was the best part of it. So Blake is sitting there, right? And he's many beers in, and we're all like, oh no, how's he going to get home? I'm actually asking him, I'm like, where do you live? Maybe I'll drive him home. Then he told me where he lived, and I was like, nah, I ain't driving you home.
Yeah.
But at one point, I was sitting there talking to Dead Meow 5, and Dead Meow's like, no, dude, he has to drink 12 beers. I'm like, Dead Meow, he can't drink 12 beers. Look at him.
Yeah, he's
and he
not
goes,
making it.
And here's what Dead Meow says. We have to do it for the bit. I'm like, Dead Meow, we're gonna have a dead Blake. We cannot have this. This kid cannot drink any more beers. And Laura, I think it was you who actually finally said, cut him off. That's it.
Yeah, I did. I said, absolutely, he's not doing the 12. He did about 5.5-6 beers, and then his pregame, which was 3, so he got close. But I said, he's not doing anymore. He's done.
Yeah. When the Dodgers were scoring runs yesterday, I don't think people were really cheering for the Dodgers scoring runs. I think
they were cheering for Blake to drink beers.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put that in my article. It was like Game 7 of the World Series, the way people were going nuts over some runs against the Brewers. I mean, everyone was bad. I mean, then again, if I was in their situation, I had a friend that was in my shoes, I would be hoping for 20 runs. But yeah, I mean, I think it added a little more incentive to the game because, you know, this is a regular season game against the Brewers. But people like, you know, Austin Barnes grounded out to end an inning and people were getting upset because they were like, man, they could have scored 6 runs in that first inning. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, they were upset when there were runners in scoring position and they didn't bring them home.
Now, right. Blake, let me ask you a question. What is the latest on Kershaw?
So it sounds like he's actually going to be back a lot earlier than many anticipated. He was supposed to be, you know, still throwing a few more bullpen sessions and throwing off a mound. The plan was early September, but he's already started throwing off a mound. And the latest Dave said a couple of days ago, it doesn't look like he's going to need a rehab start. So I think we could probably expect him back. I don't think he gave an exact timeline, but I think within the next week, Kershaw's going to be back in the rotation, which is certainly good news because when I heard this initially with his, you know, lower back injury, I was expecting middle to late September at the absolute earliest with a little bit of doubt that he'll even be ready for October. So the fact that, yeah, he'll be back within the next week is insanely good news for the Dodgers.
What about, like, back-end, you know, bullpen help that's supposed to still come back?
Yeah, so the Dodgers, as if their, you know, bullpen couldn't get even better, they got guys like Blake Treinen. He'll be back within the next week. Tommy Kahnle, Victor Gonzalez, these are guys that are currently rehabbing in AAA. So I know the roster expands a couple on September 1st, I believe, so they're going to have some space. But they have some really, really good arms that are going to be coming. And it's going to be an interesting September because we all know that the division's already locked up. But I think it's going to be a huge month for a lot of these fringe bullpen pieces. They're going to be pitching for that spot on the October roster because, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, you have probably 15 or 16 quality arms. And it's only going to go to 12 guys. So it's going to be quite the battle in September with some of these guys coming back.
Isn't that interesting that we were talking about this earlier, George, about should they be going for like the all-time win total? They may not be trying to, but there might be so much competition for a playoff roster spot that it might just automatically happen. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Just the competition for it, for sure. Yeah. Now, if you had to guess, right, like let's say May pitches his way into the rotation, right, or maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Like, you know what? I won't put any constraints on this. If you had to guess a 3 or 4 man rotation for the postseason, what would it consist of?
I'm still trying my best to figure it out because I have no clue. We know that Julio, he's going to be locked in, and Kershaw's going to be locked in as well. After that, I don't think there's any guarantees. Personally, I think Dustin May is going to be in there. I know a lot of people are talking about him being a potential reliever, but the Dodgers wanted to build his arm up so he could be a starter. So I think he gets that third spot. And as we see in the postseason, rotations shrink down to 4. So that leaves Tyler Anderson, Tony Gonsolin, and Andrew Heaney battling for that final spot. I think it goes to Tony Gonsolin, and I think Anderson and Heaney get pushed to the bullpen.
Wow. That's crazy. Blake,
good problem to have.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, think about it. Tony Gonsolin could be the ERA leader and not make the playoff.
God, that would be hard to believe, though, wouldn't it?
It could happen, though. It's not crazy. Blake, always a pleasure, brother. Great to have you on again today.
Yeah, it was great to have you.
Thank you for
yesterday.
Coming out. Thank you for all the kind words.
Always appreciate it, guys. Whenever the next event is in a couple months, I'll make up those beers I have.
No, tomorrow. Tomorrow, Hollywood Park Casino.
All right, we got
to
run.
I need a few more days to recover.
All right. See you, Blake.
All right, guys.
Coming up next, Cappy, you took a shot at the Chargers. Or you wanted to make a bet about the Chargers. Sorry, after Justin Herbert took a shot at the Raiders. We're going to revisit that, and you're going to lose this bet, and I'm going to explain why. We'll get to that next.